The nemesis of almost every woman who's ever lived, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a prison that rots the container that holds it. That's not the people that have hurt you. That's you.
Welcome to Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch exists to provide a safe and positive experience for children and families to learn about the saving hope of Jesus Christ in an authentic Western environment. What would genuine rescue look like to you? Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and listen as Kim Meter, author and co-founder of Crystal Peaks, reminds us God wants us to pursue Him and have a heart that is open.
Lord Jesus, just worshiping tonight could so feel the Father's gratitude and just these waves and waves of, do you hear my people? Do you hear my people? They're bringing me glory. This is nothing to do with a place or a barn or people or programs or anything. It is just about Him. And that people, yes, ma'am, that people would gather to worship just Him. Just Him. God's Word says in Galatians 5:1, this very simple verse, and it just says, it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. It's for freedom. Freedom. Jesus Christ did not endure the cross for you and I to live anywhere other than in the power of the presence of the One that is molten, pure freedom. Freedom. But before we can live in freedom, something has to happen first, and that is genuine rescue. Genuine rescue. We cannot know the genuine freedom of our Father until we know the genuine rescue that only He can give a heart that is seeking it. Genuine rescue. When I think about rescue, the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm just thinking in God's Word where Jesus says in John 8:32, and He says, you're going to know the truth. You're going to know the truth, and this is going to set you free. When you know what's in here, you're going to have freedom in here. That's how that works. And so when it comes to genuine rescue, all of us are living such a unique life, and we have such unique journeys, and we all grow toward Him in such unique and beautiful ways. And when it comes to genuine rescue that leads to the genuine freedom of God the Father, would that look like us moving from one deplorable situation to another one and parking there? Would that lead to freedom? Would it look like us leaving a place of ache and pain and heartache and leaving and then walking out through the field, through all the bushes, through all the high grass, and coming back in through the back door or the window or the basement? Would that lead to genuine freedom, genuine rescue? Would it look like you and I crying in our pain for help and our beloveds rushing in to give help and saying, I'm sorry, I don't really want that. I'm just going to keep crying. Would that lead to genuine rescue? No. What would genuine rescue look like to you? What would lead you to the genuine freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ? I think that many of you would agree, genuine rescue happens when we pursue a place that is safe and loving. That's the rescue part, going to a place that's safe and loving, seeking that, pursuing that, and the freedom comes when we stay there. We stay there. We remain there with the one that loves us most. I think that that's what that would look like. And the operative word is pursue. Pursue. God wants us. He's already done everything. There's nothing more that he can do except for call us by name. And we get to choose if we're going to pursue him or not. That's all we have left is our free will. He's done everything else. And in the pursuit of him, that's a heart that is open. And that's a heart that wants rescue. Let me tell you what I mean. God's word says, in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is not interested in our spiritual hokey pokey, put my trust in, take my trust out, put my trust in, and then I do a stupid thing. He wants all of us. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many years of ministry I have done when I have not put all my heart, I've not sought God with all my heart. Here's your part, God, and the rest is for me. God doesn't want my parts and my pieces. He doesn't want your parts and your pieces. When you only give God a piece of your heart, that's the only part he can heal. That's like giving God a part of your cancer. There's a few people in here who know something about that. You give God part of your cancer, that's the only part he can heal, and the rest of it's still going to kill you. God doesn't want to heal part of your heart. He loves you. He wants to heal all of you. He does not want to lead part of you. There's a lot of horse people in this room, and let me tell you straight up, when you go out and put a halter on a horse and start to lead that horse until all that horse decides to walk with you, you're not going anywhere. Because not one of us can lead a part of a horse. Until the whole horse decides to come with you, we're not going anywhere. And it's kind of the same with us. God doesn't want to lead part of us. He doesn't want to rescue part of you. How do you rescue part of a person? It doesn't work. He wants to rescue all. He goes on to say in Psalms 9:10, those who know my name trust in you, Kim. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. When we seek God, he does not turn away. He is always turning toward. Always. When we feel like God's back is turned, where are you, where are you? I'm praying, I'm hearing nothing, I'm feeling nothing. When we feel like God's back is turned, 99% of the time, inadvertently or not, it's because my back is turned. He is always facing his beloved. And he says that I never forsake anybody who seeks me. Seek me. Seek me. Jesus said in Luke 11:9 through 10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. Those are pursuant words. They're words of action, and they're easy to do. He's calling us to pursue him. When it comes to genuine rescue begins with the genuine pursuit of our heart toward the one who loves us the most. Let me tell you what I mean. I love that Jesus spoke in parables to take something that we know and understand to illustrate something we're still kind of grappling with and kind of don't get. That makes sense to me. And I love that Jesus taught that way. He shows me all the time in this way. And I love being in the wilderness. For those of you who know me, you know my heart is 200 miles out there. The higher up, the deeper in, that's where I want to be. God has called me to this huge, amazing, awesome life that's full. And it's so awesome. But I'm a really, really quiet soul. And I am so filled and restored being in what he has made. Because all creation worships him and reflects him and knows him. And when I'm out there, all the beeping and all the buzzing stops, and there's just his voice. That's my church, and that's where I hear the voice of my dad, and that's where I just get to join in this eternal worship set that's just going on all the time with the trees and the grass and the animals. And so all that to say is I spend as much time out there as I can. And where's the team from Utah? When I was in Utah, I busted out into your guys', is it Blue Mountains? Dang, beautiful. And so, by the way, tonight we have people from Utah. We have people from Canada and people from the East Coast that are coming here to worship God. Thank you for your service. And thank you. Thank you. I'm looking at you. Thank you. And so to go out in the wilderness, I'm a treasure hunter, and I'm always looking for whatever he wants to show me. And sometimes it's beautiful stones, and sometimes it's shells, and sometimes it's antler sheds. And I mean, to go in the wilderness, there is one species in the world that sheds antlers, and that's the deer family. In the Pacific Northwest, that is deer, elk, and moose. And to go out into a single forest that's millions of acres and walk to that place where these animals have shed their antlers, that is the Lord telling this wild child's heart, everything that you're filling your heart with, everything that you're praying with, everything you're grappling with and trying to learn, I've got that. And I'm answering you, and here's my covenant to you. And so I look for antlers everywhere. And I actually found some in Utah. Kabam! And so I have a couple of dear friends that I shed hunt with. And I have one, her name is Sue. We've been doing this for 10 years. We go to a place that we call the Hallowed Hills. Because in the Hallowed Hills, there are elk that live there. And we usually find antlers. And we've seen bears. We've come up on all sorts of crazy amazingness, and it's beautiful and powerful, and we share with each other everything we're learning, and every time we've fallen on our head, and every wreck we've had, and now let's pick up the pieces, and Jesus, speak over this and teach your girls, and it's really all about that, and every now and then we find an antler. And so this year, the road was washed out, so we had to go to a different place. And in order to get to that place, we had to hike cross-country for miles, and it's 1,000 feet down, and 1,000 feet up, and 1,000 feet down, and we're shimmying over logs, and Greg's laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was just an awesome time. And we found a few this year, but I think we were too early. And so it was a cold season, and we just missed them. We found some, and I was going to bring them, and I knew I'd trip over them, and that would be bad. And so the point of sharing that is that we go to these places that are incredibly wild, no ranches, no homes, logging roads, and then we park there, and then we go miles out, and that's where we see all the cool stuff. And so we're driving down dirt road. We finally get to the main road. We're driving along the river in these big sweeping turns, and we come around this turn and see something we've never seen before. We're in the wilderness, and there's two dogs in the road, and they're like, help, help, we don't know, we don't, and they're kind of like circling in the road on a turn. And so we stop the truck, and I open the door, and one of them, they're both heeler border collie crosses. One was an old male, gray on his face, and the other was a younger female. And I got out, and the male, you could tell, they were really stressed. And his whole hind end was shaking, and he was crouching. He was just done. He was just done. And so I open the truck door, and I'm like, come on, bud. Come on, bud. And he walks, and he's like, I don't know you. I know that's help. I need help. I'm getting in. And he goes and he tries to jump in the truck, and he can't because he's so exhausted, and he can't do it. And this totally strange dog allows me to pick up his hind end and put him in the truck, and he just lays on the floor. I made it. I'm in. I'm good. And the female is now circling the truck. I'm scared. I'm scared. I don't know you, and I'm afraid. And so I just knelt down in the road, and just started talking to her, and she came up and just kind of rubbing her head and rubbing her ears, and she's panting really, really hard. I'm really scared. And just kind of waited till she started to quiet, and I just put my arm underneath her hind end, and I didn't corral her. I don't know this dog. She doesn't know me. I just put my arms out straight and just stood up and took her to the truck. And she could have ripped my face off, and she just got in the truck. And we closed the door, and now we've got two hitchhikers that I believe have been abandoned. And God, we just started to pray, Jesus, show us what to do. Jesus, show us what to do. And so we drove to the next town, which was 53 miles away. There's nobody out there. And we drive to this town, and during that drive, it became very clear, these dogs are really kind, they're really obedient, they're sweet. Someone loves these dogs, and they need them to come home. Someone loves these dogs, they belong to someone, and Jesus, show me how to get them back to the one that loves them the most. So we drive to this little town, which was, I think, 53 miles, and that's about how many people live there. It's super rural. And so Sue goes to the post office, and I go to the restaurant, and then she goes to the gas station, and I go to the grocery store, and that's it. That's all that's in the town. We talked to everybody, and nobody knew. We met the mayor. We met the sheriff. He had lots of stories. And so we're getting fuel, and we have a plan. We're going to move these dogs to a place that's the next town over because they have an airwave bulletin board that goes out. Somebody will find these dogs. And all of a sudden, this man comes running up, and he's like, the mayor said you picked up two dogs and that you were on the Middle Fork. And he came up and he looked in the window and he's like, my dogs, where did you find them? What? My dogs are in your truck. And he just started to cry. He just started to cry. And that he had come to town from 53-ish miles away and met the mayor that we had just walked away from 60 seconds earlier. And the Lord said, right there. And so there was this beautiful reunion and this very frenzied tale. His wife was in Texas with two dogs. He lives off the grid in a cabin with his wife, and he had the two dogs. He said, I had to go to town for the first time in my life. I said, you guys stay on the porch. I'm going to town. I'll be right back. Stay. And they said, I don't think so. And as soon as he drove down the driveway, they started to cross country 1,000 feet up, 1,000 feet down, 1,000 feet up, 1,000. And we think they went about 12 miles. 12 miles. They were reunited in this beautiful way. And what made it so beautiful is this, and this is the rest of the bedrock of the story, is that 2 days before, on this epic hike where we went and had to shimmy over logs, over a river to get to the Hallowed Hill. This is where we always find cool stuff. And we finally get there. We've hiked 2 hours just to get to where we want to go. And we start hiking. It's beautiful. It's like being with a dear old friend. We know all the creases and crevices and where the animals are. We never hike together because we always want to find stuff. And if we jump up animals, sometimes they run to the other person. And it's just cool. And so I tell Sue, I'm seeing bone. There's a kill site, and I'm going to go investigate that. And that's not uncommon. Wherever there's animals of prey, there are predators around. That's the balance of life. And so I walked into this kill zone, and instantly, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And I could just feel the hackles going up and that you are not alone. Go very carefully. And right in front of me was a cow elk that was down. And she had been down for maybe 2 days. This had just happened, and I'm reading all the ground. My grandpa was a trapper and a hunter, and he taught me how to read your environment. And I'm reading the ground and scrapes and scuffs and broken branches and in this mortal struggle. And all of a sudden, and this is graphic, there's too many pieces. There's too many legs. And now here's legs, and they have hair and flesh, and there's another body that has just gone down, and it's all still there. And there's only one animal in the Pacific Northwest that can do this. And officially, they don't exist in Oregon, but I'm here to tell you they're here. And as I started to kind of back up, I'm taking pictures. I didn't show them tonight. I'm taking pictures. And the second one was a bull. And that a bull had been taken down. And on top of the skull was a calling card of feces. This is mine. And if you touch it, I'll kill you too. That's what that says. And there's only one animal in the Pacific Northwest that does that, and that's a pack of wolves. We had walked right into a kill zone that had just happened. Flesh is still on the ground. They will not leave food. They backed up, and they're right there. And I can't see them, but they are there. I called Sue up. We called the dogs in, pulled out some weapons, put our shoulders back. I'm the dominant predator now, and we're just going to be on our way. And we walked through, and in a quarter of a mile, and I can show you, this is that far from where you guys camped last year. It's 200 yards. This pack of wolves has moved into a place where the elk are proliferating. In a quarter of a mile, not one, not two, not three, six kill sites. Six. The wolves were there, doing what they do. The reason and the point of the story is that what made the rescue so sweet is this. Had we not found those dogs that day, that would have been their fate. Pulled limb from limb. There wouldn't have even been hair left. They would have been completely annihilated by the wolves. Completely annihilated by the wolves. But because they trusted us to get in the truck and receive the rescue that was being offered to them, they were moved back to the one that loves them the most, to a very safe place. People, do you see the parable? Do you see the straight across line from that encounter to our hearts, to our lives? We live in a fallen world that's dominated by sin. Jesus said in Matthew 10, you are sheep among wolves. They're out there. And it doesn't matter if you can see them or not. They're there. And their only desire is to destroy you. Satan doesn't care how. He just wants you to be destroyed because you have something he doesn't. And that is singularly this. You have the ability to choose rescue in Jesus Christ and live in the freedom that only Jesus can provide. Will you choose it? On a night like this, there are people in this room saying, yeah, I feel like those lost pups and I'm afraid, and I don't know where I am. And everywhere I turn, there's just snarling teeth. There are people in this room who feel like I'm being bitten and attacked and torn apart by those I love the most. There are people in this room who are saying right now, I am lost in a wilderness of confusion and I don't know the way out. I don't know where to turn. And I know that without a genuine rescue, I'm not going to survive the season because the wolves are coming and in fact are already here. People, all of that is true. You and I have no defense against the enemy in our flesh at all. When we leave the safety that the Father has provided for us, when those dogs left the safety of their owner's house and disobeyed their owner and started running through wolf-infested territory, they made themselves a target. When you and I leave the love and the will of the Father and take off in our selfishness, in our pride, in our arrogance, in our fear, in our depression. When we take off and we start focusing on us more than the one who has saved us, That is a wilderness that you will not survive because you have no defense against the enemy. But Jesus has every defense. In John 14, 30, Jesus says, Satan has no power over me. None. And when we are in him, he doesn't have any power over us either. Will you receive the genuine rescue that only he can provide? There are people here tonight that are lost in a wilderness of anxiety and fear, doubt, depression, guilt, shame, complacency, anger, frustration, bitterness. The nemesis of almost every woman who's ever lived, unforgiveness. You want to live in hell on earth? Don't forgive someone and you'll get there just like that. Unforgiveness is a prison that rots the container that holds it. That's not the people that have hurt you. That's you. That's me. When we hold that unforgiveness and that takes us out into a wilderness that we will not survive. And so here's the whole point of sharing this story is this. Because the dogs trusted us to get in the truck, they were taken back to safety and they lived. On a night just like this, God the Father's truck of rescue is here right now. And the door is open and Jesus is out and he's running to you. And he's saying, I got you, I got you. Come on, beloved. Come on. Come on. Will you trust me tonight? Will you trust me tonight to get in my arms and I will carry you into the presence of my Father's love. And nothing can reach you there. That's genuine rescue. And that is available to all of us. Every minute of every day, that is genuine rescue. And the genuine freedom happens when we stay there. Kim, stop jumping out of the window and running through wolves and then crying because you keep getting bit in the butt. That's not on Jesus. That's on us. Do we do that? Every one of us can raise our hand. Yes, we do. And I have. The truth is this, and this is what I want you to hear tonight. God's rescue is here for you. It is here for you. It is here for you. The door's open and Jesus is on his knees in front of you with his arms open doing this. Come on, baby. Will you trust me with all your pain? Will you trust me with all your fear? Will you trust me with all your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness? Will you drop that baggage now and just run and jump in my arms? And I will take you into the presence of the Father. And that's where you will always be safe. Does that mean the wolves are going to go away and everything that hurts is going to stop? No. We live in a fallen world dominated by sin. They're going to be circling you the rest of your life. But as long as we position ourselves in the presence of the Father, in Jesus' love, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we will have everything that the Holy Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We will have all of that in abundance no matter what terrors we face. That's being in the presence of God the Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, soaking in Jesus' love. Who doesn't want that? Jesus. I'm going to just close with this last thought. It would have been foolishness for me to chase a dog around the truck that did not want to get in. People who genuinely desire to be rescued know it when it comes and they will receive it. People who genuinely want rescue will receive it when it happens. You and I have an ever-present help in time of need. Always. That truck of the Father's love is in our presence all the time. And if we are not experiencing his peace, his love, his joy, it's for one reason only. One, you and I are not choosing it. We're choosing to stay out in the wolves and be mauled to death. And that's not on God. That's on me. And that's on you. On a night like this, each one of us has a choice to make. We get to choose to stay in the wolves, or we get to choose to run and jump into the arms of the one who loves us most. Will you? Will you? God's word says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now. You are the one that ushers in freedom. Jesus, I just pray that you would come. Holy Spirit, you would come and you would move amongst us. Lord, you are such a God of covenants. You love to make a covenant with people when we choose those mile marker life stones. And so, Lord, on a night just like this, there are many here tonight that are suffering and being chewed by wolves. And they see you on your knees, Jesus, and they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they see that open door of the Father's love. And if you want in, if you are suffering from anything, if you want genuine rescue from Jesus Christ, just stand up. This is not about pride. This is not about complacency. Tell him with your body, I love you more and I want that. And just stand up. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, Jesus, that's me. I want everything that you have. Right now, as you are standing before the Lord and saying, yes, I want more and more and more of you, and everything that I'm suffering out here, stumbling around in the wolves, I want your freedom.
You've been listening to Kim Meter, author and co-founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. We invite you to learn more about the ranch at crystalpeaksyouthranch.org. Check out the videos, listen to more podcasts, learn how to volunteer or make a tax-deductible donation. CrystalPeaksYouthRanch.org. I'm Brent Anderson. Join us again as we take you out to Crystal Peaks, the ranch of rescued dreams.